Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Good morning and welcome to Labors of Love. I'm Deacon Stephen Nolte, joined once again by Leslie Brown, as we complete our study on Love is Our Mission, the Family Fully Alive. Leslie, welcome again.
It's great to be here, Deacon. Thank you.
This morning, we're going to do our final session on this whole catechesis in preparation for the World Meeting of Family. This chapter is called Choosing Life. It kind of gives a wrap to the whole book, everything we've been studying, talking about, and discussing for the last 9 weeks up till today. I'm looking forward to where this is going to take us as people of faith, and let's get into it. But before we do, once again, let's begin with prayer. God and Father of us all, in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, you made us your sons and daughters in the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world to be united with one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of the Holy Family, with the aid of your Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Leslie, it's hard to believe that, you know, over the last few weeks we've come up to this, the 10th and final session of this whole catechesis. You know, this catechesis was a good amount of time in the making, and we've been preparing for this for a while, and yet now we find ourselves wrapping it up. It's incredible, this little journey that we've been on through the family and what it means to be family fully alive. But I think that out of it all, we have to come to that conclusion that God made us for a reason, that His love that He has given us is our life mission, that this mission enables us to find our true identity and what we're out there searching for. How do we go forward? How do we take this mission and live it in the whole of our life, especially within our families? How do we reinvigorate and find that way to bring this to life in a culture and a society that continually wants to tell the family, don't do it, it's not worth it?
It can be really challenging, especially when maybe as Catholics and as Christians we exist as a minority. We can feel like the world around us is going in one direction and what we're trying to do is harder than upstream. It can be really a challenge when we realize that we're in the minority.
Yeah, well, you know, God calls us to live as He does, to love as He does, to do this within our families, with our children, our parishes, within society at large. It seems to me if He's doing that, then He's got to be giving us some guidance. And I think that that's an area where maybe we can look to see, is there something we can do that helps reinforce living that out in our lives?
I think getting the basic truth that you identified, that God created us for a reason, that He loves us, and He wants us to live a life of love, is the starting point. We need to let that sink in and recognize why we're even here. Beyond that, the catechesis points out three fundamental things that are important for us to keep in mind as we try to remain faithful to our call. The first is that fidelity to the covenant with God requires restraint.
What does that mean?
There are so many things, especially in our marketplace economy, that come at us all the time. And we need to keep our wits about us. We need to pray, ask for God's grace in discerning what living a Christian life looks like. That means there are yeses to some things and there are noes to other things.
So that restraint really is learning discipline to live our lives in ways that are pleasing to God and to the best benefit of our family and one another.
Right.
Wow.
This means not just moving with an impulse. In our consumeristic society, commercials, billboards, magazines. We are encouraged to go with those impulses to buy, and we often end up fighting a sense of entitlement. Ooh, I want that. I ought to have it. Living the Christian life really calls upon us to be more discerning and to bridle those impulses, to operate with some wisdom and choosing what we're going
to
do.
Well, that discernment's the tough part, because it means that we have to follow God in some particular way, that we have to have this commitment to His covenant love that is stronger than whatever suffering we may have. Now, I think that might be touching on the next point you want to make,
because
I believe that suffering, how do we go through that suffering? This denial of self and restraint means that there's a greater commitment. Explain that for us.
Well, if you look at the covenant love of God to His people, that covenant love is greater than suffering. Christ's passion and death are full of suffering, taking on all of the sin of humanity. And yet His covenant, His love for us is beyond that. And we feel this in a very real way in the covenant of marriage. Covenant love goes beyond suffering. It is long-suffering and persevering. And that's something that is countercultural, I would say. We experience being a minority when we bear with suffering because we're being faithful to a covenant.
Now, I've heard you twice now refer to us as being in the minority, and I would agree with you. We definitely are in the world today, that faithful Christians, people really want to be faithful. They really want to serve God and love Him and believe that they're doing so, but so often we're misguided by that culture that tells us certain things. It misguides us in the dignity of the person. It leads us to believe that we don't have to stay in a relationship when it no longer meets our needs, our particular needs. But those needs are so self-centered and so self-directed that our Holy Father, Francis, actually refers to that as a self-centered paganism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of that term and I'm like, wow, what are we living in? What are these times that are so tough, and how can we move beyond them and go into this whole arena of love, especially lived out in the public arena?
Well, the catechesis uses the term creative minority. We are not a minority that is meant to isolate ourselves from the rest of the culture that we see as maybe working against us in so many ways. We're meant to be creative in being life-giving salt to the earth and light to the nations through the Holy Spirit that God has given us. We
funny
need to have courage.
Funny you should say that. That is today's readings that we talked about. And it's so beautiful, this whole understanding of being the salt of the earth,
mm-hmm.
that brings leaven and flavor and keeps us going, this creativity.
Mm-hmm. The catechesis recognizes that in the Old Testament, the people of God were a minority. They were a small group of people who had been chosen by God and followed. Imagine how hard that was. Which, if you think about Abraham, he was called away from his family in order to be a new identity, in order to be given a new mission from God, to be extracted from the culture that was surrounding. It was starting very small. We are called also to recognize that we may be a minority, but we're called by God, and God sustains us in that call.
Wherever we might be, because it comes to mind the different times that the people of Israel were conquered and sent into exile,
mm-hmm.
that they were away from not only their country and their home, but away from their culture, away from everything they were, but they were still called upon,
mm-hmm.
to give that same witness to the one God who creates all and has love for everyone, and how difficult that was for them. And I think today, in our own times, we can be living in an exile within our own country,
mm-hmm.
because we are a minority.
Mm-hmm. I think we get a misunderstanding maybe of what we need to do as Christians. If we operate out of fear, I think sometimes we're tempted to maybe stick our heads in the sand or tempted to isolate ourselves among other believers. And I think that's actually getting into a fundamental theological error about Christianity, that we are made to be missionary. We can't isolate ourselves and retreat into ourselves. Yes, as Christians, we are meant to go out, and as we mentioned, to be the salt of the earth. If the salt stays in the shaker, it's never going to add flavor to the food.
Well, that's a very apt description. I think it really, what you're really speaking to is that we have to conform our lives to faith in God and that one true God who never abandons us, who always calls us to something greater. But we have to maintain that faith. But that means conforming our will to His.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough thing. That requires sacrificing.
It takes listening, too. I imagine that there was listening going on through the prophets and through the leaders of Israel to follow God through all those times that they were unfaithful. But what strikes me now is that the people of God, through all of their exiles and their grumbling and their sins, God made use of them as preparation for His Son. We, as a small minority, God is still calling and can make use of us no matter what the darkness is around us.
In preparation for the second coming, even.
Yes.
Whenever, however far down in history that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, today, our life, our history is setting the stage.
Mm-hmm. So I think rather in fear, rather than isolate ourselves, we can take courage in that we are called by God and given an identity, and we don't need to try to protect out of fear, but rather trust God and go out to be a light.
Well, that's a very good place for us to take a break. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Labors of Love.
The word tough can mean different things in different situations. For our purposes here, we'll use it as an acronym, T-O-U-G-H. Teens, open up to God's holiness. It's a youth weekend retreat set for July 24th through the 26th at the Pax Christi Liturgical Retreat Center, 4601 Cal Allen Drive. High school youth, boys and girls in grades 9 through 12, become tough retreaters as they experience an encounter with the risen Lord in His Word, in the Holy Eucharist, and in each other. Among the items not allowed on this tough retreat are watches, mobile electronic devices, alarm clocks, homework, drugs, alcohol, or tobacco. To register, visit diocesecc.org/youth. For more information, call the Diocese Office of Youth Ministry at 882-6191. It's time to get tough.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm your guest host, Deacon Stephen Nolte, and I'm here again with Leslie Brown discussing choosing life. Leslie, a moment ago we took a break. We're leaving from the discussion on what it means to be creative, faithful minority in this world, the spiritual discipline that we have to have. If our way of life is so different from the world's, and we nevertheless, in the midst of it all, we have a very firm hope, a plan that's bigger than our own ideas and undertaking. We know that God has a plan for us. He guides us to where He wants us to be. And in that, we have this firm foundation for independence, and it orientates us to love and participation in society and culture. What say you to that?
Well, I think it's founded on the basic truth that we're reiterating through this whole catechesis, that God loves us and wanted us to be, and the same love animates us in our marriages and in our families. The love which moves the sun and the stars, as the catechesis tells us, the love which created and sustains all that is the same love which animates us, our homes and our church. God is directly, intimately involved with each of us, and the love that can create all things can create anew within us in our lives now. We can have courage and confidence that God will answer our prayers and will lead us.
So it gives us strength and makes us more authentic in our humanity and what we're supposed to be.
Yes, but I think, as you mentioned, it takes spiritual discipline.
Yes.
We can't walk with Him and receive these graces unless we're open in asking and seeking to do so. That is very difficult. As we were discussing previously, we are so full in our schedules and so busy that sometimes we're not spending time with Him, opening ourselves to Him in active receptivity in a listening way to let Him guide and show us the way. That takes spiritual discipline.
You know, all the spiritual discipline and this whole idea of being missionaries and being the light in the world and do all these things that we've been talking about throughout all of these weeks of this discussion really kind of, to me, is summed up in the words of John Paul II, of St. John Paul II. I don't remember the particular document. He said it several different times. But what I'm thinking of, and I think you know it, family,
become what you are. Yes. You know,
his words, they have not lost their urgency any more today than when they were spoken. In fact, if anything, they've only intensified when you look at all of the things, all of the many challenges facing us today in the world. If the family's identity flows from the mission or the plan of God, if we find our identity in God's plan for life, how do we live that out? Even more so now.
Yeah. Well, we need to look at that phrase, become what you are, because some of us can look at our families and go, what are we anyways?
I'm not sure I want to be that.
All these things that have happened. He's talking about the plan of God. The family is meant to be a place of love, a place of security and safety, a place of forgiveness, a place of mercy and compassion at its best. So the call and exhortation to us is, family, become what you are in the eyes of God, what you've been made to be. For this reason, we support marriage. The church will always uphold marriage between man and woman open to new life. This is God's design for our society. In one of the previous catecheses, we read that the family is pre-political, is the term that is used, that it exists before the state. It's a natural thing that exists that we need to support.
It's the foundation of society. And,
right.
And
that
legislation
can't be redefined.
And state comes out of society. Yes.
Right. So for the family to become what it is, we need to look at it at its roots, which is what this catechesis and the World Meeting of Families is trying to highlight.
And I think it says it very well. And I'm going to read this piece. It's the family has the mission to become more and more a community of life and love in an effort that will find its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. How very beautiful and rich is that? That mm-hmm. the family is called to be a community of life and love, and that its fulfillment is always found in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Always what the eternal perspective.
What does that direct us towards? How do we move there and where we go? I think one question there that kind of brings me to that, and we've discussed before briefly, was on the idea of domestic church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do we think of ourselves and our families as a domestic church? And what does that domestic church really involve? It means living the faith out in our home,
right,
in our family. So what are the values that are visible in the way our household lives? We can ask ourselves, what steps can we take as parents and as family to better embrace that mission of being the church in mm-hmm. the domestic home?
Well, in living our family lives, we need to guard love, to show what love is, and to communicate that love to each other, first in our families, but then outside. So as parents, we need to be discerning and guarding what is contrary to the values that we should be living in our families. For example, we've talked about up and down all the temptations to just act on impulse. I think it's very important that we teach our children and continue to work in ourselves to develop the virtue of chastity, to develop temperance, to develop our self-control, basically.
Forbearance.
Yes.
There's so much that we have to find
yes.
along the way that the church gives us.
In doing so, that allows us that freedom to make choices that are loving.
Well, what I find interesting is that so often we look at that and we'll hear somebody talking about like what we are today, and we think, okay, that's for them. That's
right.
For those people over there.
Right.
Well, that's not true.
No.
It's for every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
We are all called to this through our baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we go back to, what is the church giving us? What has Christ brought to us to reveal his Father fully to us so that we would know who we are supposed to be? And this whole understanding springs from that we have to deepen that call to life and love, that we have to really witness to it in a very real way, because that is basically what it means to be family.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we go into that? So, you know, we look at that and find, where do we find that fulfillment? How do we develop that further? And it has to be within the universal church.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be isolated to be whatever we decide to make it.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a following to it if we're following God's plan. So from the beginning, the core of the church has often been those who became believers together in their household. You know, mm-hmm. remember back in the early days
That's
of the
right.
church itself.
Right, and the household became the center of Christian activity, the place of discipleship and the place of mission. The fundamental truth about God's love for us and our mission of love is something we need to accept about ourselves, that God has undying love for us. But I think the shift that needs to take place in the mission as well is to see that God has undying love for each person that he has created. And being able to have our eyes transformed to see that about each individual we encounter, and to train our children to see other humans, each person, as loved by God, is the beginning of the mission. We have to start with that fundamental truth. Each person is wanted and loved by God. And that shapes how we interact with others, and that shapes our choices and our actions in our everyday lives.
You know, when we try to put that into play and try to understand what impact that has for us as families, and, you know, so often we have our families who go to church every week. They go to Mass on Sunday. They go back out home. They go to work. They go to school. They do the things that they mm-hmm. do and never think about it again until it's Saturday. We got to get ready for Mass tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We go to Mass, but during the week, we leave it behind. We're not living it out in that domestic way in our homes. And yet, as we embrace it, as we realize that we are called to embrace that, it becomes more and more vital to us that we have to understand that the Christian family is not just there to self-serve,
right.
to meet its own needs,
right.
but also to serve the family in the parish, the family in the diocese, in
right.
the church at large, and beyond that, within society, that we give that witness even to those who don't believe. It goes back to those terms we were talking earlier about being able to stand there in the society as a minority and mm-hmm. still give witness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big challenge, a great challenge, but that's what's required if we're to be fully alive, if we're to really embrace love as our mission for mm-hmm. families. What final thoughts do you have as we bring this whole catechesis to a close and look forward to where we go from here?
I have great hope in God and his call in our lives. I'm going to take him at his word. He says that he is the God who loves us and is faithful to us always. I'm going to hang on to that and let it lift me, as I hope it lifts our listeners, that we can embrace this mission of love, and he will aid and sustain us no matter how small the chosen people are. He will give us what we need, and we'll keep on keeping on.
It's been so enjoyable to be here with you, to talk about these things, to really discuss this, to look at this catechesis. Hopefully those who have listened to us will have gathered or gleaned some little insights and some hope for their own future. I just want to leave us with these parting words, and it's straight out of the catechesis. I just want to read this. I think it's just so poignant to where we are. Christ is still calling Christian families, and he's saying, Christian families, the church needs you. The world needs you. Furthermore, that we must become what we are. Choose life then, that you and your descendants may live, by loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. This concludes our catechesis on Love as Our Mission, the pre-catechesis for the World Meeting of Families in September of this year in Philadelphia, the birthplace of our own freedom. We want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. And once again, I'm Deacon Stephen Nolte, saying goodbye for this particular catechesis. Leslie, thank you once again for being with us.
Thank you, Deacon.
Stay with us. Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. Mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Memory is a strange thing. Sometimes we remember something like a tune for a commercial we heard as a child, but we can't remember the words of the product it advertised. We might remember our great-grandfather's hands, but not his face or his voice. The sense of smell provides us with some of our most powerful memories, memories of food that we ate at some family gathering or other event. One of my earliest memories involved me trying to tell my mother that I wanted cookies. I had not yet learned to talk, but I remember vocalizing what I thought she would understand, but she didn't. My older brother was standing in the kitchen with me, and he kept telling her that I wanted cookies, while I could only make sounds that I thought said the same thing. I remember her coaxing me to form the words that would not come as I stood in the kitchen, pointing up toward the cabinet, tears streaming down my face. The evangelist John remembered the encounter of the first disciples with Jesus. He wrote, "John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 p.m. What a strong memory John had to remember that first life-changing event that had occurred so many years before, an event so powerful that he even remembered the time of day it had occurred. What is your earliest memory of Jesus? Imagine Jesus is walking in front of you. You are seeing him for the first time. Your heart is unexplainably pounding with excitement in anticipation of some unknown thing. He turns and looks at you. His eyes lock with yours, peering into the depths of your heart. You feel as if you were naked, and you were startled by the intimacy of the look, maybe a little embarrassed that he caught you following him. Then you hear his words, unexpected words that shake you to your core, because you sense that the question is not what it seems. It is not superficial, but demands a response as deep as the depth of his eyes. He asks, 'What do you seek?' You don't know what to answer, and so you mumble something, anything to give an answer. Never mind that you sound foolish. Jesus doesn't seem to notice and invites you to be with him. All the while, his question tumbles about inside you, numbing and confusing at the same time. With these simple words, you sense that he has asked more of you than anyone has ever asked before. 'What do you seek?' What will your answer be when he asks you? Will you know how to answer, or will you stand before him like a toddler, unable to form words, let alone express the thoughts? God calls us to give an accounting for our life. He wants us to know where we are going and what we are seeking. He longs for us to be with him. May your desires always direct you toward the labors of love to which the Father calls you, and may his blessings fill your heart and your mind with love of him and his Son. Amen. Once again, I want to thank you for having been with us on Labors of Love. Check in with us next week at the same time for new programming that we're bringing to you on KLUX.
This has been Labors of Love. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.